And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah. And it entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? But lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Every year, I use the second chapter of the book of Luke. And this morning, I'm reading out of the first chapter of the book of Luke. And I think sometimes that we need to be reminded of not only the events that transpired on the night that the Lord was born, but the events that lead up to that birth. There are many different avenues that you could take as you think about that. There have been many, many sermons that have been preached on these occasions, and certainly I'm not going to offer you anything new or anything that is probably unknown to you. But I would like to remind you this morning that there has been a great amount of emphasis placed upon the actual night of the birth, and some of the things we've got right, and some of them we've embellished it to make it what we want it to be. And sometimes I guess that's okay, but there are some things that I think we need to be careful that we're not declaring as gospel when it is custom rather than gospel. And so I want to, for this morning, a few minutes, have you to think about the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary. You may remember that the angel of the Lord had come unto her and told her that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her and that she would be with child, that he would be the Son of God. And that Mary questioned, as had Zacharias, whenever the angel of the Lord had come unto him and said unto him that his wife Elizabeth should bring forth a son, and his name would be called John. And that Zacharias had questioned how that was going to be, seeing that his wife was past the childbearing age, and the angel assured him that God was able to take care of that situation. There's a lot of controversy still today over the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no problem whatsoever with accepting the fact of the virgin birth. I'm a firm believer in it. I make no apologies for that and no hesitancy about saying that I believe that is the only way that it could have happened for God to have a son who was without sin. Because the Bible very clearly teaches that we are conceived in iniquity and born in sin. And there is nothing that has been done to change that. However, there has also been a greater emphasis placed upon the importance of Mary than probably there should have been and should be today. But let's not forget that according to the word of the Lord, that she was to be considered to be blessed. And she was a blessed woman. And certainly, that's something that we don't have to steer away from. Elizabeth, whenever that Mary went to visit her, when she saw her and met her, the Bible says that she was The Holy Ghost came up on her. She filled with the Holy Ghost, and she began to say, why is the mother of the Lord come to me? And I want you to listen, though, to what Mary says. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Now, that's important that you remember that Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And it's important that we magnify the Lord today. We need to be sure that we understand that as we go through the season of the year as to why we put such emphasis upon it and why that it should be a time of celebration. It should be a time of joy. It should be a time whenever that we look forward to it instead of it being a time whenever that we dread to see it come. Now, some of the skits that we're going to see next weekend will address some of those issues. But let me assure you this morning that just from life experience itself, I've found that many, many people today are rather than joyous about this season of the year, are dreadful of this season of the year, and can't wait for it to be over. The problem that I see that we're having is that we've got those who are so excited about it that they want to start right after the 4th of July. And I suspect that it won't be long until the time that we're putting up the bunnings for celebration of 4th of July that they'll have the red and green lights with them to be able to signify that we're getting ready for the Christmas season. Well, I'm only kidding about that. But it is important that we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that the emphasis is up on the Lord and not up on everything else. And I'm not being critical of us having Christmas. You know, I'm as big a fan of that season as anyone is, and I enjoy it as much as anyone does, and probably more so than I even should. But let me assure you this morning that I don't want to forget that I'm celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a wonderful thing that is that He was born, and that He came here and lived upon the face of the earth for the short amount of time that He was here, that He then not only lived, but He died, and that He not only died, but that He lives again. And it's important that we remember all of these things, not just dissect it to the point to where we say, well, we're going to celebrate His birth now, then we're going to celebrate His life a little later, and then we're going to celebrate His death at Easter and His resurrection at Easter. And you know, understand that His life was a continuous life just like ours was. It wasn't in certain periods of time. And so we need to be sure that we magnify the Lord. And there are many ways that we do this. You do that when you come here to worship Him. This says to the people who are out, who are watching your lives, those people come to serve and to worship the Lord. They are here to sing the praises of the Lord, to offer their prayers unto the Lord and their praise unto the Lord. They are here to learn more about the Lord. And that's one of the ways that we magnify Him. You know, whenever we begin to talk about magnifying something, that means to enlarge it. I have one of these big magnifying glasses that every once in a while I get out whenever that I'm looking at an old picture or something that's got a lot of people or something in it that I want to see a little better than what my eyes will naturally allow me to see. You know, sometimes that's helpful. And sometimes it's helpful for us to do more than what is just natural in magnifying the Lord. We cannot overemphasize the importance of the Lord in our lives. We cannot overstate how wonderful it is to have Him in our lives. Not one of us are able to do that. We cannot put into the words what a blessing it is to be able to have the gift of eternal life. We talk about it, we tell about it, we sing about it, we do all of these things, but we never are adequately able to tell the goodness and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary said, I My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, Elizabeth was telling what a wonderful thing it was that was happening to Mary. And Mary understood this. She had been in the, from the time that the angel had first spoken unto her, and she didn't understand. She had had time now to be able to understand and to have her reasoning opened up by God Almighty so that she knew what was going to take place. This wasn't something that she didn't understand, she didn't know about. She knew that she was blessed of the Lord. What a blessing that was for this lady, this young girl, to be chosen as the one who was going to bear God's Son. Let me assure you this morning that there isn't a single person alive who said, what a blessing that must have been for her to be the chosen one. And she was chosen of God Almighty. We do not need to be concerned about recognizing her as the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not worship her, but let's give her due credit. Let's be sure that we understand that God had blessed her. But you know what she said? She said, my soul shall magnify the Lord. Yeah, it's not about me, it's about Him. And that's what we need to be able to say in our lives. It's not about me, it's about Him. It isn't what I have done. It isn't who I am. It is what He has been able to do and what He has done in my heart and mind. She said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now we're scared to death, us Baptists today, that we might be accused of being like the Catholics. Whenever that we talk a little bit about Mary. Now, I'm just going to call them out by name because, you know, that's the one that we're probably most concerned about. Oh, you know, we're so afraid to give her the appropriate and proper recognition that she is deserving of that we just steer away from her. Oh, don't get us looking like that we're worshiping Mary. We're not worshiping her. We're acknowledging her. We're recognizing her. But you know what she said? It's not about me. It's not about me. Oh, she said, you know, he does say that she shall be blessed and that she shall be called blessed by all generations. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Listen to what Mary is saying. Listen to what she's saying. He hath done great things to me. There's nothing wrong with us praising the Lord. There is nothing wrong with us magnifying the Lord in our lives, in our thoughts, in our being able to thank Him. I still cannot say enough that as many times as we ask people to pray, not often do I hear someone say, I want you to praise God. We want to ask Him for things. And that's okay. We need to ask Him. He teaches us to ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We need to ask of Him. But people, we need to praise Him once in a while too. We need not only to be asking Him whenever that we have trouble, whenever we hit the bumpy spots on the road, and that's time for us to move over a little bit. It's time for us to not only say, Lord, we need your help, but when He gets us back over there in the right and the straight and the narrow, need to say, thank you, Lord, that you've got me back where I need to be. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for allowing me to be one of your children. Thank you for sending your Son that we might have the gift of eternal life. We forget sometimes to magnify Him. She said, for He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. I fear that for the most part that we have forgotten how holy the Lord is, and we've decided the thing that we need to do is bring Him down to our level so He can relate to us rather than us relating unto Him. We reached that point to where that as a society, that we want everybody to be comfortable. We want everybody to think of Him as a good old boy. We want everybody to think of him as someone who, you know, he's just going to go along with whatever we want to do. As long as it's us, it's going to be okay. Let me tell you something. God is still God Almighty. God has not changed, and he never will change. And if there's any change that's going to be made, it's going to be made in you, and it's going to be made in me. It's not going to be made in him. And we just well get off of this idea that, well, we'll just make him as common as we are. That isn't what he wants. That isn't what he expects out of us. He expects us to be more like him rather than him being like us. We need to be a holy people. We need to be a people that are appreciative of the good things that he does for us instead of saying, well, we're bringing him down to our level. Now listen, Mary said, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Fear of the Lord. You know, what's wrong with fearing the Lord? That doesn't mean we have to be afraid of him in the sense that we just think every time we take a breath, he's going to knock us down or something. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about fear of the Lord. It's a reverence. It's a respect for the Lord. It's an understanding that he is God Almighty and that his Son, Jesus Christ, is that perfect one. And what a privilege it is for us to be one of his children, that he came and that he was born among the children of men. Mary said that he has mercy on them that fear him from generation to generation. One of the Old Testament writers said, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. Yeah. The fear of God. A reverence of God. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Here's this little girl who comes from, as I use the expression quite often, the poorest of the poor. You know, that's what I tell people every once in a while when we're talking. I say, you know what? I truly did. I didn't realize at the time, you know, how poor in a financial situation that we were as I grew up. It seemed like everybody else seemed to be in about the same boat we were. And none of us, I guess, recognized that. So we weren't maybe as bad off as it looks now. And a lot of things that we had, you cannot buy with money. And that's the truth. We've got today, though, that we think if you've got money, you can buy everything you want. Let me just take you around a few places where that all the money you've got isn't going to be worth a plug nickel. The first place I'd take you would be to the funeral home. All your money, the only thing there you could do, you get a good casket. If you're going to be embalmed, you're going to get the same fluid in you as everybody else does. It isn't going to make any difference how much money you had. You may have a high dollar funeral. It may cost you a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you what, it isn't going to impress anyone because you're going to be just as dead as any other person there. From the richest to the poorest, you're just as dead as you're going to be. So you can't buy that. And take you to the nursing homes and show you people that they're probably wealthy at one time and they're all right now, they'd give anything in the world. And ever since that they ever have, so they could just be right where you're at this morning. Some of them say, you know, if I could just go back to church one more time, they can't do it. See, you can't buy those things with money, people. Go to the hospitals today. They've got all kinds of, and they can charge you all they want to, and they'll charge you plenty, I guarantee you that. But there are people there that no matter how much money they have, they can't be cured. They can't be healed of what's wrong with them. And it isn't that they don't have good medical staff and that they don't have good people there. They do have. We are blessed with being the most fortunate people in the world when it comes to those facilities. But the money is not what's going to get you the cure. I can just go on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We are a blessed and we are a fortunate people that God looks down. I tell people every once in a while that I don't even remember for sure, but it's very doubtful that I had a dime in my pocket. If I had anything that had been a nickel, I wouldn't have had a dime. That is too much money. I might have had a nickel, Alan, might have. Don't you know that I had a nickel in my pocket when the Lord saved me? But he didn't look to see what was in my pocket. He didn't look to see what kind of clothes I had on. At that time, my Levi's or my jeans were still in pretty good shape because it was only the late fall of the year. And I got some new ones to start school every year. But by springtime, Bruce, I've several times had to go down to my aunt's because, Patty's mom, because the seat of my pants had worn so thin that I had to go down there to have them sewed up while school was going on. Somebody can't relate to things like this, but some of you can. In some respects, we were poor. You know, those three pair of jeans, they were to last us for the school year. My kids pay now to have theirs ripped out. I've got a fortune down there at my house, you know, of ones that I just dug through some the other day. I thought, my goodness, Ronnie, I've got some pretty valuable jeans here, you know. Yeah. Let me tell you something. God didn't look to see what was in our accounts. He still doesn't today. That's an interesting thing that most people have lost sight of, is that he still isn't looking to see whether I've got any money in the bank or not. He still doesn't look to see what I've got on insofar as my clothes are concerned. But let me tell you something. What he still does is look at our heart. Yeah. And I'm still just as poor in heart as I was in accepting for the blessings that he has blessed me with. Yeah. I'm still in as need of him today as I've ever been. I still need him every single day of my life. Mary said, he has chosen the lowly. He has chosen me to be the one to be blessed. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent empty away. I want you to listen. He has filled the hungry. Ah, he takes care of a lot of people today. Takes care of all of us if we really think about it. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What we need to be able to do today is say, you know, of all of the things there is in this world, of all of the places that we can be, of all that anybody can possibly do, the best there is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have him in our hearts, in our lives, that he has given to us the very best gift there is, the gift of eternal life. And that because he came so many years ago into the life of a young girl named Mary, who was willing to allow God to take her and to allow her to be blessed, to be a blessing to each and every one of us through her son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your good attention, for your presence this morning. If you don't remember another thing I said, just remember, my soul doth magnify the Lord.